Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today's story describes a rather baffling and rapid switch of emotions among the people of Nazareth. At first, Jesus gets a very positive reception from them, and then all of a sudden the crowd wants to kill him. It's a very big reversal. And so what's going on here? Well, this story, in fact, sets the tone for the whole of Jesus' ministry. Jesus has started preaching and teaching in synagogues. He is filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything he does and says from now on will be inspired from God. So here in his hometown, his home state of Galilee, he starts getting a good press, and everybody praises him. Wow! What a good preacher! I really understand Scripture a lot better because of him. And believe me, that is the sort of thing that every preacher wants to hear. Apparently, Jesus, in addition to teaching, he does some healings at Capernaum, and then he comes back home to Nazareth. And Nazareth was a small town. One archaeologist estimates that it had maybe 1,500 people. Another says maybe the town had no more than 500 people, maybe 50 families. It is small. I wonder if some of you know what it's like when you grow up in a small town. People know you. They look out for you. They keep an eye on you so you don't get into too much trouble. They know your parents, your grandparents, your cousins. They know your whole ancestry. And that can be idyllic, or it can be a bit of a nightmare. It is hard to escape that sense of living in a fishbowl when you're living in a small town. And when you come back after a time away, people notice that you're back. And maybe your visit gets written up in the local paper, even if you haven't done anything special. Mrs. Robert T. Snow is in town visiting her mother. I came across that newspaper clipping about my grandmother. And if you are coming back after having gotten a college degree or maybe even an Olympic medal, wow, they'll put up a sign welcoming you and maybe have a parade for you. Jesus has come home to Nazareth where he's been brought up. Now, he's not exactly famous worldwide yet, but a report about him has spread through all the existing countryside. Imagine the pride of the people. Our local boy is on his way up the ladder. He is making good. He comes from a humble background, sure. He comes from us. And we are so glad to see him again. So, in this context of praise and joy and celebration, Jesus goes into the synagogue, and he's given a turn to read Scripture and comment on it. And he reads from this fabulous passage from the prophet Isaiah, this announcement that God's Jubilee year has come, a time when debts are forgiven and the debtors are released from prison, and those who are oppressed by poverty and every illness are set free. It's a great reversal. So Jesus reads this wonderful passage, and then he carefully rolls up the scroll with the sacred words on it, very deliberately gives it back, sits down, and time just seems to slow down, and all eyes are fixed on him. They are mesmerized, even before he has said anything. And he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Not tomorrow, not some vague time in the future. Today, God's promises have come true. Because this is the plan for Jesus' life. These are the kinds of things he's going to be doing in his ministry, freeing the oppressed, healing the sick and the blind. This scripture passage can be said to be Jesus' mission statement. So people hear what he has to say and they go, wow, what? How can this be? This is amazing. And all speak well of him. Except, except for the ones at the back of the crowd, the ones maybe who grew up with Jesus and are perhaps a little jealous of him, the ones who wish that they had what it takes to make it. And they start saying things like, oh yes, Jesus, Joseph's son, you know, working class Joseph. Jesus isn't any better than his dad. He's not better than us. Why should Jesus tell us what to do? Who does he think he is, anyway? And things start to escalate. Well, the situation probably could still have turned out all right, but Jesus gives the crowd a little sermon. And I say that word sermon in the bad sense of the word, which you all know, you have heard it used in the bad sense, not like what happens on Sunday morning, of course. He gives the crowd a little sermon, and he says something like, you guys know there is a reason that you haven't seen any miracles from me here. I've done miracles down at Capernaum, but not here. There's a reason, because you think you're special. You think you're special in the eyes of God because you are Jews, because you are from the people of Israel. And you are not the only ones that God wants. Scripture shows that God is reaching out beyond the boundaries of Israel. God did it through the prophet Elijah. God did it through the prophet Elisha. And now God is going to do it through me. Reach out to all the peoples of the world, not just to you Jews. And maybe Jesus went on and said, the people of Israel are blessed to be a blessing to others. Don't hoard the blessing all to yourselves. There is blessing enough for all. So God is reversing the normal order of things, and the chosen people are not guaranteed to get salvation. The outcasts, the Gentiles, the rejects of society, I'm going to focus on them if you reject me. I certainly can't imagine that Jesus wants his hometown to reject him. He's certainly not rejecting them, but he is just naming this reality that when people get riled up, that's what often happens. And in fact, that's what pretty much does it. Jesus pretty much brings about his own fate here. He antagonizes them by saying that the outsiders are coming in and the insiders are going to be put out if they have to be. That's a pretty big insult. And this turns out to be more transformation than the people of Nazareth can handle. It may be good news to the poor and the outcasts, but it sure doesn't sound like good news to the folks at Nazareth. They would have to start including people that they routinely exclude. They would have to start believing that God's salvation is really for all people, and not just for them. That would be too great of a reversal for them to handle. Plus, they don't see Jesus for who he really is. They're blinded by his familiarity, by the fact that they grew up with him. They think they know everything there is to know about him, and they miss the bigger picture. They say, he's just Joseph's son, isn't he? And they don't see the Son of God standing in their midst. And so they don't share the blessing with others. And that turns out to mean that they will not receive the blessing themselves. The blessing of Jesus Christ as Lord and Christ come back to their hometown, ready to release them from debts and illness and sin. Instead, they take Jesus to a clifftop and they try to throw him off. People from his own small town try to kill him. Here it is, right from the beginning, this conflict inherent in Jesus' ministry. Jesus just stirs people up. He arouses disturbing emotions, just like Scripture does. And I wonder if you can relate to some of these emotions in this story, because I think it really can make us angry when our assumptions are challenged and when we're not given the privileged status and somebody who hasn't been around long enough gets honored. Is there really blessing enough for all, for us and for them? Jesus invites us to put aside any self-centered emotions and to focus on him and his ministry, because this story is taking place here and now. Jesus is teaching us. He is as familiar as the son of Joseph, and he is as full of blessings for us as the Son of God. And this is our chance to welcome him home. Who's Jesus yearning for us to share his blessing with? Well, Jesus and Scripture are agents of change. If we take them seriously, we cannot remain the same. If we take them seriously, we cannot stay isolated in a small town bubble like Nazareth. We have been abundantly blessed with faith, with a wonderful community, with resources, and with love. And so may our blessings continue to multiply and overflow to be a blessing not only for ourselves, but for others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.